And we begin with a very familiar face and voice here at Fox. It's Brian Kilmeade, host of The Brian Kilmeade Show on Fox News Radio, co-host of Fox and Friends, host of One Nation with Brian Kilmeade on Saturday evenings on Fox News Channel, best-selling author. His latest is Teddy and Booker T. So he's a very busy man, and you've carved out some time for us. Brian, it's great to see you.
I enjoy the carving. It's fantastic. And this is a pretty unbelievable area, right?
It's amazing.
They just have these little huts, beautiful huts. In the middle of it is this huge scaffolding where we have this great setup, stage setup. And then in one of the rooms is a huge living room, which they converted to a studio.
And it looks great.
And at first I said, wow, I feel bad I'm not in there. Then I realized I'm glad I'm not in there. Because it's nonstop television, and like when you walk out, a lot of times you walk out and you don't not really, you know, you want to stretch your legs, or next thing you know, you're on television.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing is there's cameras everywhere.
Cameras everywhere. So there's two or three different sets. There's one by a little fireplace. There's the main one that you're talking about, which is where I'll be joining tomorrow morning as a programming note. I'll be on Fox and Friends with you guys. Looking forward to that. I'll also be on the radio show with you tomorrow. So we're doing a lot of cross-promotion, which I love. And then there is this, I'm calling it the skybox, for tonight and then tomorrow for the live coverage. That's where Special Report's broadcasting out. I think Jesse's there. I think the special coverage. So they've done an amazing job here. You were going to be joining our show a little bit later on, but you've got an important interview lined up. So we wanted to get you right out of the gate so you can get there on time. We've seen over the last couple days several of our colleagues here at Fox get what they call pull-asides with former President Donald Trump, who's, of course, the front runner to win the nomination again. Brett got him. Martha got him. Lawrence Jones had him for Fox and Friends this morning. You're doing something with the former president just in a matter of minutes, but it's a little different, right?
Yeah, what I wanted to do is get a sense of his life doing multiple events. Now, you see the Nikki Haley's got about five or six events today. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, the problem is the former president has got a court case he wants to go to in New York. Now, it was postponed today because his lawyer's sick and somebody else is ill. But still, he said, I'm only going to do one event. It's going to be around 6 o'clock. And I said, would it be great if I could just catch you when he lands on his plane? I want to see the staff. You know, does he prepare for these speeches? I've seen him just write out in Malta.
So he's flying in today.
And we're going to meet him at the airport.
Because he was here yesterday for an event.
Flew back.
Flew back to where? To Florida or New York?
New York. Okay. To be at his trial today, but yep. Then they postponed it because of a bunch of illnesses.
So this is Trump Force One, or the 757, will land back in Manchester. You'll be there waiting for him. And they're going to give your team access up to the plane and then just sort of a slice of life with Donald Trump over the ensuing hours.
Yeah, we're going to hopefully go with him on the caravan, the SUV caravan, to the event, get up to him behind the scenes, see the last minute. You know, we hear great things about his staff this time. You know, in 2016, he was kind of winging it. In 2020, we had the pandemic, and nobody was really doing events until the very end. And now we just keep hearing how great Iowa was. Look at the results and how organized they are now. I'm very curious. Do you have a message? Is what's framed out? Who are you trying to convert in the very last minute? What about your family? How do they feel about this? What about any type of reflection? Because this is win or lose your last campaign ever. What do you hope to campaign? Is it almost a relief?
Is that true? Last campaign ever? Because he could lose and run again in 28.
You really think that he would run again?
Yes. I think he might. I think he might.
Now, it's going to be very interesting. I would love to. If he says to me, I'll probably run again in 28, we will have a pretty big story.
That'd be a huge. And what he'll say is, I don't have to run in 28 because I'm going to win this time.
Right.
But I would love to know if he would rule out running in 28. I don't think he will.
Right.
But that's a great question to ask. We'll see how he responds.
If he did respond to that, that would be a little shocking. Oh, no, Brian, I'll try it again. Because then I don't know if
we'll
the party
see.
Would be ready. Yeah.
We'll see. So that is actually going to be kind of fun to have that opportunity. Whatever you think of Trump, just to see that process play out. And I'm just wondering, because you've also spent a fair amount of time with Ron DeSantis. I know that you were down. I think I remember seeing footage of you playing catch with him at the governor's mansion. You really got to know the governor of Florida. Of course, he just dropped out yesterday. We'll be talking about that later in this hour in depth with my analysis. But I'm just wondering, when you saw that news break yesterday, of course, you guys covered it for hours this morning on Fox and Friends and on the radio. What are your thoughts on him getting out and having gotten to forge a bit of a relationship with him, are you surprised?
Yeah, number one, I'm surprised at the ridicule. People look at the amount of money spent, and they said, worst campaign ever. Really? I don't know. Do you know of a campaign that would have beat Trump? I don't know. I mean, do you know of a Republican that would have beaten him this cycle? Who knew that the jet fuel was going to be garnered off to all these cases?
Mm-hmm.
Who knew that they would turn into big press events? And I don't necessarily, I don't never thought he was not a warm person. I think it's just bottom line is, guy, if you had a problem, he'd ask you what's your problem. He's not going to look you in the eye and feel your pain. He'll just say, how do we fix it? Well, I got a huge problem. I can't get permits for this house. I can't rebuild after a tornado hit. I have issues with contractors ripping me off. Beach erosion has taken away my property value. He would not hug you. Know what he would do? He's like, what's the problem here? How do we fix it?
Yeah.
And that's just it. I don't know if that's a bad politician. I think it's a transactional politician.
Well, let me ask you this, because my good friend Mary Catherine Hamm has made this observation, and I think it's going exactly to the point that you're making. Is there a gap between the skills that it takes to get elected nationally versus the skills to govern really well? Like, because Trump is, let's just say Trump, for example, he's really good at getting attention and getting himself in the spotlight. He got himself elected in 2016, got a lot of votes in 2020. DeSantis, of course, won this blowout in Florida, but he's not Mr. Emotion. He's Mr. Results. And it seems like the results should speak for themselves. But a lot of voters said, yeah, not that important to us, at least this time.
If you put the most charismatic politician in front of Trump right now on the Republican side, I don't know. I mean, just pick one out. Would it be Reagan in modern times? You know, it'd be a Republican JFK. I don't know if anyone beats him at this moment, judging that he gets up every day with 2/3 of the Republican Party in his pocket. I don't necessarily think anyone rejected any policy that DeSantis has. I think the question of going after Trump for not draining the swamp and going to the border is questionable, because it's really, you can't argue about that. You saw the effort he put in to get the wall, 450 miles. Don't guide the 66 miles that the Democrats put out. Some of that stuff was split rail fence. The other was
COVID. I mean, that was a fair knock, I think, right? Some of the COVID stuff. It just didn't really resonate. You almost wonder if the campaign was run 2 years ago, would that salient issue have helped DeSantis more?
I think they're on the same. I think they both did just as well. I mean, Trump was trying to figure out on the fly while trying to get the country back. And then he has Anthony Fauci, the most respected doctor that everyone credits for getting us through the AIDS pandemic, say, if you don't shut the country down, millions will die. And we already saw those hospitals overrun with bodies. So he said, OK, I'll do it. And for DeSantis to come back and say that, I just don't think it resonates. I think it's whether you want to turn the page and whether you think a younger guy without 91 charges and 4 indictments,
right,
would be a better choice. And then when the national poll started indicating that Trump was winning, that knocked out the biggest objection. He can win the primary, but he can't win the national. We're looking at him winning now. So the biggest objection is out the window. What do you want DeSantis to do about that?
Right, especially if, because I think the polls could very much change in the next 9 months, especially if some of these charges turn into convictions. Things could really dramatically shift. But we can only look at the numbers we have now. And the numbers now, Trump is polling better than he ever has in his career. He has never been stronger nationally in the swing states than he's polling right now. That could be a mirage. It might disappear, but it completely robs anyone else of an electability argument against Trump in this moment.
I'll give you that. But the first story in Politico today, even though they're rooting for it, they say Trump could, if indicted, he loses a third of his support.
If convicted.
If convicted, I should say. And I'm saying, okay, well, is that worse than the Access Hollywood tape?
I was wondering about that. And do they come back then?
Right, because everyone looks at the document case and goes, what about Biden's document case? Everyone looks at January 6th and said, you held us for 2 years. Look at the Georgia case, and we already see how messed up that case is and how they're charging the conspiracy while conducting this illicit affair mm-hmm. on the side and seem to be first telling us it has nothing to do with the President of the United States, and then he bills for 2 visits with the White House counsel. So at all those people who are saying, I'm not going to vote for Trump if he's convicted. Each time you have a case that this is pure politics on each one of those cases. And Jack Smith, who just seems like a rabid dog going after the president, not looking for the justice or the truth, just looking to knock him out, seems intensely personal.
I think that's how a lot of Republicans will certainly see it. The question is, the people who ultimately swing these elections one way or another, are they willing to overlook potentially a conviction because they feel like Trump is better on the economy or not? I mean, that's, I think, the $64 billion question right now, and we don't know. And you could build a case one way, as you just did. You could build a case the other way. But here we are.
Moderates undecided.
Right. We don't know. And that's a huge gamble by the Republicans. The only thing is, and I was talking about this on the show Friday, here we are the day before the New Hampshire primary. No one's giving Nikki Haley a chance. You never know, because New Hampshire loves to deliver the occasional big surprise. She's working very hard here. This state seems well-suited to her in some important ways. But we're looking ahead, and I think a lot of Republican primary voters have heard these arguments. They've heard these concerns, and their response is, we still want to do this. We're not that bothered by it.
And, Guy, going back to the question you asked, if New Hampshire, with their undecideds mm-hmm. and their moderates mm-hmm. And their live free or die attitude, say, I know what's at stake, and I'm still going for the guy that could be convicted of one of the four indictments and 91 charges, I think that's indicative of, are you willing to shake it off? I mean, Georgia was the one case is not pardonable if mm-hmm. he doesn't win. And all of a sudden, that case is right now on life support in many cases.
And the New York one, I think, is seen as the weakest by far.
It's an embarrassment.
Bragg. It's really bad. I think the documents obstruction case is by far the strongest, in my personal opinion. It's unclear when some of these will even go to trial. Right? There's just so many moving parts to all of this. And I think a lot of Republicans are just drawing in a deep breath and just waiting to see what happens.
And what you like to see is, if does the president have a plan B? And what he showed us over the last few days is there are no time for retribution. Ronnie and Nikki ran a good race. Mm-hmm. Listen, no more de sanctimonious. I'm burying that forever.
He says retiring.
He's a good
the
guy.
Nickname.
Yeah, he's a good. Okay. Didn't see much of that last time. I know he got together with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, but it was kind of a slower. This was on the spot, ready to go. Let's come together.
And we were on the air live on the news channel last evening when he had his rally, Trump, and he came out and opened towards DeSantis in a way that was notably conciliatory, saying, look, he's a great person. His wife's a great person. They ran a good race. This is really hard to do. We're honored by their support. Right? He might have been doing some gloating behind the scenes.
So what?
But out in front of the cameras, he was doing the more responsible, unifying thing.
There's no question. And what I thought was interesting, too, is that he also is the one who signed off on $50 million worth of attack ads.
Yep.
So he just did everything until you have lifts in your shoes
And he was terrible for COVID.
Robotic, yeah. Terrible for COVID.
He shut down Florida. Crazy stuff. And it just, again, I'm sort of in a nothing matters headspace to some extent. But boy, it's going to be a really interesting, bumpy, I think potentially ugly 9 to 10 months to come.
The only thing we're not figuring out is, you got to realize it's not Obama, it's not Clinton, it's not Romney, it's not McCain, it's not a style. I don't think that Joe Biden can do two events a day.
No.
I don't think he can do three a week. And he's not going to sell anyone when he's seen and no one shows up to see him speak. And that's the tough sell.
And does it matter? Because he did nothing in 2020 and won. This time, will he get away with doing so little because he's the incumbent? He has a really bad record not to run on. So they have to make those decisions. So it's kind of like we're doing 2020 all over again, minus COVID, but older. That's what we have on our hands.
Someone's got to get it to make a speech and talk about abortion rights, because that's really what they're going on.
Oh, they'll
abortion rights.
Yep,
yeah. So who's going to say that? Kamala?
Yeah.
At one point, is she going to have to get off script? And that's going to be a circus.
No, she'll do that. They'll do the election stuff. They'll do democracy and try to convince people the economy is better than it is and that inflation doesn't really matter. And it might work for them. It might not, and we'll be watching and covering all of it every step of the way on every single show. Brian hosts 17 different shows at Fox, and he's on mine right now. It's the only show they let me actually have on this network. But it's great to see you. Have fun today. It's going to be an interesting experience with Trump.
Right.
And it'll air tomorrow morning on Fox and Friends, plus you'll have audio on your radio show.
Right. And then what we don't use, I'll do get some news out of it. I'm going to save it for the weekend.
For One Nation.
Yeah, for One Nation. But right now we feel like, wait a second, we just hit him with three interviews in one day. let's give everyone a slice of life.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Tomorrow morning is the first chance to see that on Fox and Friends with Brian Kilmeade. I'll be on that show as well tomorrow morning here in Bedford, New Hampshire. Brian, great to see you. Thanks for stopping by.
All right, good job, guy.
All right,
we are
just getting going, starting this brand new week here in New Hampshire. It's the Guy Benson Show. We have Brett Baier. We have Jesse Tarloff. We have Ronna McDaniel. We have Charlie Hurt. All ahead. Stay tuned.